Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
What do you want me to be? Sister. Here are the choices. This guy. Jeff, how are you? You look good today. Did you trim your eyebrows?
I like.
Jeff Lutz.
It's not really about sense of humor. It's about whether I want to humor you. Do I? Not really.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I heartily endorse this event for fun.
Hello again, everybody. It's a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power is producing and engineering the show. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. We look forward to your participation, but we have a busy show today. Lots going on. The game didn't go like you wanted it to yesterday.
Oh, you think?
Tarek Skubal was dominant.
He was very good.
Is he set to go in game five or?
What game five? You think we're getting a game five?
If there's a game five,
probably will be a game five. I don't want to really confront that or admit it to myself yet. Detroit's probably going to win a game at home. Hopefully they don't, but they probably will. And you'll come back to Cleveland with Tarek Skubal on the mound.
I'm not saying this in any way to tweak you. That's the most dominant pitcher in the game today. That guy is nasty.
He was very good. I'm not going to take anything away from him. I don't know how much those shadows affected hitters. Because Matt Boyd was good, but he shouldn't. I mean, he's okay, and he pitched really well.
Well, Detroit's not a great offensive team.
And then once the shadows went away, you started seeing more balls put in play, some more hits.
He got a little bit easier, but you didn't see much against Skubal.
A great confirmed catch by Stephen Kwan,
Was that a catch?
I don't know, to be honest. I've seen
honest.
I don't know. That's the honest.
Well, you're a broadcaster. I was listening on the drive home from Wellington, Tom Hamilton, who's very good.
Well, no kidding.
And immediately said, that's a trap.
Dallas Braden thought it was a catch. There were a lot of others that thought he got the thumb of the glove under the ball. Now, in other pictures, too, it looks like it's on the grass. But is it on the thumb of the glove?
It didn't matter.
Ultimately,
Harry Carpenter hit one. And Detroit gets that series even. And the Royals got their series even. I'm going to say this. The American League is there for the taking. I'm not overly impressed with any of the teams. The National League teams look markedly better.
Well, the American League has spent a lot of time beating up on each other, and that didn't necessarily happen. The National League series,
the Yankees aren't all that.
Are more interesting because they're they're all pretty interesting.
But they're all playing. That the National League is where it's at. And I don't take that as some tweak. That's just the reality.
Yeah, but it's
the Yankees don't look good.
It's an unfair reality. If the New York Mets were the Milwaukee Mets or the San Antonio Mets, you'd say the same thing about them.
I wouldn't.
They had a nice little run in the postseason. They've gotten some wins, or in the regular season, they've gotten a couple wins in the postseason. They gave one up. They almost gave up. It's like
the four teams in the National League that are left are powerhouse teams.
The Mets aren't a powerhouse.
They are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They don't have enough pitching to be a powerhouse.
They're a powerhouse team.
I disagree.
The four teams left in the American League, any one of them could win it.
Yeah, but I think every
and there's
each
not,
of those
not
teams,
there's not one that stands out.
Each of those teams have a powerhouse element. It's not like there's not a reason they all got here. It's not like they didn't earn it. It's not like they aren't.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the National League.
Yeah, no, not really.
Why do you get all defensive?
Because I just don't agree with it.
If you watch the two games yesterday, all you're thinking about is, can any of these teams hit? These aren't
because the pitching is better. That's why I just said
Matthew Boyd's not great, and he's not. Skubal's great. Rodon is not great. Reagan's didn't have as good stuff yesterday.
The Royals strung some hits together and won that game.
If you're going to tell me the Yankees are going to the World Series, they'll get swept.
No, they won't. Anybody can.
I'm telling you right now.
I hate that.
I don't care what you hate.
I absolutely hate that.
Do I come up here and have an opinion?
They're dumb opinions. They're impossible opinions to argue with because it's just so, well, they'll sweep them. They'll beat them 50 to nothing. They're so much better. And it's like, what do you even say against that?
I've watched a lot of this stuff.
Every team in the postseason is there for a reason.
I'd rather play any of the American League teams.
That's wonderful.
Than any of the National League.
Wonderful. Doesn't matter.
And you know it.
No, I don't.
Admit it. Raise your right hand. Not. You swear to tell the truth?
No, there's every team.
Of course you don't.
Every team that's there deserves to be there.
I'm not saying that.
Every team that's there.
These are the best teams in the American League. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the National League is clearly superior.
Wrong. That's just wrong.
Well, I think I'm right.
You're not.
It's clearly superior.
No, there. It's not. And that's dumb, and it's if Houston had won, you'd be, well, Framber Valdez and Yordan Alvarez.
You know,
and look at all these superstars.
Houston wasn't very good either.
But, okay, neither were the Mets for most of the season.
And who did
Padres got hot kind of late,
the Orioles
too.
Weren't bad. The American League is weak.
Please.
Can I just say what everybody's thinking? I've been thinking about this all day.
Well, you've thought wrong, and you don't watch American League baseball, so you don't know.
Of course I do.
No, you don't. You don't watch it day in and day out like I do. And I don't like – the American League has been superior to the National League.
I don't gauge what I say on this show about on what you like.
But you're wrong.
I come on this show to share my opinion.
But your opinion is always based on what happened yesterday.
No, I've been watching. I've been watching all elements. You're going to tell me that there's a team in the American League that would be favored over any of the teams?
Doesn't matter
in the
who's
National.
Favored. Matters who wins. That's
you,
it.
What do you? But how do you feel about?
Can
that?
Any American League
would
team?
Would Cleveland be favored over any of the four National League?
I don't know
League
if they'll
teams.
Be favored. I don't even know what that means to be favored.
Well, look at you're the spokesman for FanDuel in this.
You know
market.
What I know? What means?
What do you think?
I know, you know
think what, fan? What do you think FanDuel would do?
I don't care what FanDuel
well, wait
would
a minute.
Do.
You're the spokesman,
and I don't care about who's favored. I care about who gets 27 outs first.
Are you not the spokesman?
I'm not even talking about that.
You're the man.
I'm not. We're
you
know, not.
How do you think?
So this is now what you think now is you're only thinking about this as it relates to gambling.
No, when I say favored, that relates to gambling.
I don't care who's favored.
Who would
favored.
Be the favorite?
Who cares? I mean, who thinks about sports in those terms? I can't even
Why
imagine.
Why are you getting all defensive? I don't
understand. Are you one of those?
It. We started off pretty calmly.
Are you one of those win probability guys, too? Oh, well, Jeff.
Well, that's what gambling's based on.
Jeff, the Guardians are 71% to lose here. Who cares?
That's what gambling's
Who
based on.
Who gets 27 outs
and,
first?
And in this market, on this airwaves, you're the spokesman for FanDuel.
Great.
So give me a little FanDuel
I'm not going to give you a little FanDuel look. I'm going to tell you what I believe baseball to be. Who gets 27 outs first? That's all it has. Doesn't matter who's favored.
Now, I will
all
it say
matters
this.
Is what's what goes on the field.
I will say this. Skubal is an X factor. He's clearly the best pitcher in the playoffs. And he could be trouble for anybody. But I'm trying to think of another ace. On any of these teams that I think could maybe
it's
shut
not
down
all about
a National
just
League
the
lineup.
Ace. It's not you think
or a pitching staff.
You think Steven Vogt, if he gets to the World Series, is like we're riding Gavin Williams? No, he gets Gavin Williams out as
what
soon.
What pitching staff could shut down
Guardians? They've allowed
the Padres.
They've allowed
the
runs.
Mets, the Phillies.
Yes, every team, every team. They've allowed runs in one inning. Out of 18. That's it. One ball hit. That's it. That has produced runs.
Well, you just said the shadows are affecting hitting there.
No, I didn't. I said I don't know how
you know,
much.
I
should affecting.
Have been an attorney, shouldn't I?
But I didn't say that.
But I should have been an attorney. I could.
But I didn't say
I'd
that.
Have this,
you, we'd court reporter look at the tape. Oh, he said, I don't know how much the shadows are affecting things. Okay.
Wouldn't I have the jury in knots? They'd just be...
No, because...
They'd be eating out of my palm.
Your arguments are bad, and they always have been. I wish you'd take that to heart, but you don't, and that's okay.
Why can't I get on this show and share my opinion?
You can,
That's all I do. I'm not here to antagonize. Or,
you are antagonizing a little bit. Who's favored? Give me some
FanDuel. But if you weren't such a Guardians fan, it wouldn't be antagonistic.
Well, I'd be a fan of somebody, and you'd
I'm mainly saying the Yankees don't look good, and the Royals are going to get them.
Okay, well, I said the Royals would win yesterday. I felt that way.
The Yankees are not good. When they don't have their guys hitting, Stanton can't run, first of all, so he's got to hit the ball off the wall or over the wall.
That double play was kind of crazy.
Judge hasn't gotten a hit yet.
Good. That's exactly how they should be approached.
They're not even pitching to him.
Nor should they.
And there's nobody
in
that lineup.
That's my point. I've talked about this since last week. You're going to do what you do best. And Kansas City's best isn't rolling out seven superstars in their lineup. It's going to their starting pitching, not pitching to these
superstars.
They had
Michael Garcia get four hits. You can't depend on that. Salvador came up with a big hit. Bobby Wood hasn't done anything at the plate yet.
But they piece it together from a pitching standpoint.
But part of that is because the Yankees aren't very good.
Fine.
And did they have the best record in the American League? I'm asking a question.
I believe so, but they don't have a way to piece it together from a pitching standpoint. They have Gerrit Cole, who's not been Gerrit Cole, not much else from a starting standpoint.
Instead of trying to sound like
So they are trying to win with
Bob
Aaron
Costas.
Judge.
Get in here with some emotion.
So they're trying to win with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, and if the Royals aren't going to allow them to beat them, then the Yankees are going to have...
Who do you think you are right now, Mr. Analysis?
Why can't I just talk about the game?
Well, I don't know why you don't get in with some emotion.
I don't know why you don't understand that when it's the Phillies and the Mets, that series is going to be played and strategized different then the Phillies and the Padres, or the Padres and the Guardians, or the Tigers and the Royals. They're all going to be played different.
That was a good ball game yesterday, the Guardians and Tigers.
I didn't like it.
Very tense. But at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to figure out how to hit the ball.
The Guardians started to maybe get to Skubal and hit into some double plays, which awful situational hitting.
Yeah, we'll see about it. I'll
see who Detroit tries to roll out there in Game 3.
We'll see what Game 3 looks like.
I bet the Guardians score a couple in the first again.
Well, we'll see. I like the Guardians but you don't want to get to Game 5.
And you know I was just surrounded by bad vibes throughout that game.
Well, I can't help the bad vibes.
The bad picture, the extracurricular activities.
Bad picture?
It didn't start. The picture was distorted.
Please.
And I missed the first pitch.
So you're blaming me and my TV.
Well, I'd like to get it fixed if you could.
Oh, my gosh.
It was I was part of the bad juju.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching the two games tonight in the National League, because that's been very highly entertaining, even in the 10-2 Padres win.
The only reason, again, if it was Padres-Brewers, we wouldn't be as locked in.
The Brewers played an entertaining series against the Mets in the wild card
round. We have the two best rivalries in the National League going on.
I don't know about that. Where's Cardinals-Cubs?
That's not a relevant rivalry right now.
Oh, please.
No one
cares. It's always relevant.
Who's going to win? Who's going to finish fourth?
Are you kidding me? And who's your rival, by the way?
Well, there's not really.
Nobody has Cleveland as a rival. They don't bother with Cleveland.
Fine.
I mean,
why
Detroit's
is that my
rival
problem?
Isn't Cleveland.
Detroit and Cleveland are kind of rivals.
Not really.
Detroit or Cleveland and the Yankees, that's always been, I mean, everyone hates the Yankees. If you don't have a rival, it's the Yankees. The Royals' rival is the Yankees. But I wouldn't call it among the best rivalries in
Cardinals
baseball.
Cardinals have a good rivalry with the Brewers, with the Reds.
You got to keep up your end of the bargain if you're going to be in a rivalry.
The Cardinals have kept up their end of the bargain just fine.
No, they haven't.
Over the years.
So I'm talking about right now.
Well, right now.
Are there two better rivalries? Are there any better rivalries?
No, right now, because they're both in, they're playing for the
and they
get
do
the
not
National
like
League
each other.
Championship series. Of course they don't like each other.
So that's part
of
the
theater.
I like
this on this show. This is a version of that.
Well, we've always been Phillies. A good rivalry.
And I'll tell you what, right now, if there's a brawl, you're done.
Well, bring it.
Here's what we have on the show today on that intimidating note. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, one of our frequent go-to guests. We'll talk about K-State football. Here we are nearing or at the halfway point of the college football season. Time flies. Have you noticed that?
A little bit.
It's crazy. Fitz will join us at 2:25. At 2:45, we'll have the head football coach of the Goddard Lions, Tommy Beeson. They're coming off a big win over previously number one ranked in Class 5A and over Central. That's a big win for them. And then in hour number two, we've got a game that we look forward to. The Chiefs, we'll get to them a little more detail later. They covered against the Saints. Of course, we all had that. I think Max didn't. What about the big fella, Anthony?
I don't remember.
They're not here. We're at the Rudd. Anthony went 0-4.
That's too bad.
I feel terrible for Anthony.
You don't want to have that kind of week.
I feel terrible for Anthony. Duda had an incredible week. I had a very good week. I'm starting to get it turned around. Have you noticed?
I haven't noticed, no.
Well, you should. I was 6-2 last week. This week, another really superlative week. And things are looking up. What are you looking on your phone about?
Just scrolling around, clicking around. Everything's good.
Who would have had in week five for the Chiefs, who would have had their biggest weapons being Kareem Hunt and Juju Smith-Schuster? Anybody?
Nobody.
Anybody got that? That's crazy.
Well, one of them wasn't even on the roster 2 weeks ago.
They just roll people out, and Patrick Mahomes figures out a way to get production out of them.
And they're 5-0. And they don't even need to play well to win these games. They play well sometimes.
Their defense is so good.
It is. Probably the best defense in the NFL right now.
And the offense is just good enough, and whenever they plug somebody in, I mean, no team, and I know the NFL is littered with injuries, no team's missing what the Chiefs are in Rice, Pacheco, and Hollywood Brown. I mean, that's just – any other team would be decimated.
Correct.
With that kind of an injury report.
Probably,
and
yeah.
The Chiefs win.
There are some teams with pretty good depth, but you don't want to miss out on
I don't
on
even
guys
know
like
if
that.
This is good depth. They just – they make them good.
Well, Xavier Worthy and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Kareem Hunt
if those
didn't
are your,
have a team, dude.
I understand. But we saw, like, Tyrone Tracy come in for the Giants and rush for 130 yards. Who's that? I don't know how some of this stuff happens. I don't know if running backs are getting better. I don't know what's happening. But you see some unknown guys do this relatively often in the NFL.
Kelsey had another good game. Mahomes, no touchdowns.
They got Kelsey involved early.
They moved the ball. He had his highest passing yardage game of the season. They moved the ball consistently against a New Orleans team that started so well, now has lost three in a row.
Yeah, and before yesterday they were losing close games, and now David Carr might be down. So that's
David
the team.
David Carr,
yeah,
he's been down for a
Chuck
while.
Carr,
why don't you get it right, man?
Baby, you can drive my car.
Derek Carr is who you're referring to, and if we're going to lead the
Floyd
listeners
Carr.
Astray. We might as well not even answer the bell for a show.
Who is the
David Carr?
Celtics
coach.
What are
you, 1997?
Who is the Celtics coach? ML Carr.
ML Carr was a fantastic number 30 back in his playing days.
Yeah, don't get Max going. I don't need that right now.
Back in the playing days for ML Carr.
Yeah, he wasn't a good coach.
Didn't do much as a coach.
For the Celtics, unfortunately.
He was a good role player for the Celtics. Let's
Somebody
take
had
a break. We will return and talk K-State football with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Let's get to Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. The last time K-State went out to play a late game on in the western part of the country against BYU, it didn't go well. They go to Colorado this week to play the Buffaloes, a 9:15 start. Is there anything to that? And first of all, welcome, Fitz.
I'm here to share my thoughts. Look, I still can't explain what happened at BYU. I mean, it was really 5 or 6 minutes of just utter collapse, calamity, everything going wrong. And this is a new game. But they have to prove they can play better on the road. They weren't very good at Tulane, at least in the first half they weren't. So putting together, you know, a more complete game on the road is step one. Whether you win that or not, you got to play better. And I think if they do play well, though, they'll win at Colorado.
So you could tell me that this is not a thing at all, but do you think there's any challenge to go into Colorado and be surrounded by all that hoopla and everything that Colorado seems to be about? Is that maybe if they were pros, they might be able to handle that better, but these are still college kids. Maybe they get caught up in it themselves. Do you think that is at all an element to this game?
Great question, Jeff. I'm not sure. And you know, what really makes this more relevant is the Dylan Edwards storyline. Starting at Colorado, now being at K-State, he'll be a huge focal point for Colorado fans and the Colorado players as they keep bringing him up. I did a podcast yesterday, and I originally used a Dylan Edwards photo on it, and then when we recorded the darn thing, we didn't talk about Dylan Edwards because it's not as big a story here. So maybe they'll put that away because Dylan said, no, I'm just going to play a football game, and they won't really get caught up in it. But I know this. The folks in Boulder are caught up in it, and because of that, they've got a really lively and hostile crowd. It'll be packed. It'll be loud. I'm looking forward to it.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, publisher, founder. You mentioned something interesting there about you did a podcast and didn't mention Dylan Edwards. So my question would be, how important is it for K-State football to become offensive, I'm struggling to think of the word, for their offense to incorporate Dylan Edwards in a way where he does become relevant from week to week, and you do talk about him on podcasts.
That's true. I mean, he's been really effective, even when he hasn't touched the ball but been on the field. And that's what, in fact, that's what tomorrow's Daily Delivery video will be about for me, is how to use Dylan Edwards in this game to affect. That may not even mention him touching the ball, at least in, you know, from the line of scrimmage. They're going to be so focused on him, I think it could create a great distraction for Colorado whenever he's on the field. But then again, we got to keep this in mind. Colorado turned over half their roster in the offseason. Dylan Edwards isn't the only one that left. Almost half the team did, and then they brought in another half to be new. So there'll be a big chunk of that team that don't even know Dylan Edwards from anyone else on K-State.
Yeah, how fair is it, I guess, to expect that there will be different things tried? You went into the bye week coming off probably your best offensive showing of the season when everything really seemed to click and just about everybody who was involved had a good game. So was there a week of adjustments? Was there a week of let's continue to do what we're doing? How was the bye week kind of approach for K-State?
During bye weeks, they try to get healthy. They try to get rested. I mean, even if a guy is, quote, healthy, not injured, he's hurt. He's got aches and pains, and he wants to get those cleaned up because trust Bob and I when I say, as old people, you get aches and pains you got to live with. Young people, you can get over them. And I think that's what they use a lot of. They run their younger guys a lot, with different sets, working in with K-State's offense and not the scout team as much. Coach Kleiman talks about, his freshman quarterback, Blake Barnett, getting to do that. And since he was injured all spring and catching up in the fall, it was really the first time to see him running the K-State offense. So a lot of that goes on. But they did do some Colorado prep. I know that because I think they all realize that this is a big game. And after what happened this weekend with Colorado winning at UCF, this team might be finding itself. And you can't ignore the substance of the talent that they have at Colorado.
Both teams 4-1 heading into Saturday's 9:15 p.m. kickoff in Boulder, Kansas State at Colorado. We're talking with Tim Fitzgerald. Obviously, Colorado has two of the most electric players in college football in Travis Hunter, their two-way, and in quarterback Shedeur Sanders. And neither of them has disappointed. In fact, both of them might be playing even better than anyone could imagine. What's the key for Colorado as this season unfolds to take those two Heisman candidates and make it so that that team maybe can contend for a Big 12 title? What do they need to do better?
We saw them do it at UCF. The two elements there is you got to stop the other team's run, get them off the field. Because if you don't, they can ball hog, and we're not going to see Shedeur Sanders throwing touchdowns if he's standing on the sideline. The other thing is they have to run the ball. They have to keep defenses honest. Once they prove they can run the ball with some consistency and maybe with some threat that it's going to go a long ways, then I think things will get a little bit easier for those two. But I got to be honest, Bob, Travis Hunter is one of the best college football players I've seen in my lifetime. Only because, you know, we talk about players getting gas because they played 60, 70, 80 snaps. He's playing every snap. Everyone. And he doesn't seem to be winded, and he seems to be still elite on both sides of the ball. It's absolutely incredible what he's doing, and you can't just ignore the massive amounts of talent Colorado has just because they haven't fully gelled. We started to see them gel a little bit in Orlando.
Is the Big 12 playing out sort of like you thought? There, some of the teams at the top may be different than what we expected. Texas Tech is off to a good start. I don't know if we expected this from BYU, and West Virginia played well. So is it the same as maybe you would have expected, the jumbledness of it, or and maybe just the teams are different?
Iowa State you didn't mention.
True.
Yeah. I thought Iowa State is a contender all along. I mean, I think I might have picked them third in my poll in this conference. I think they're legit, but this weekend we'll sort that out in a way. Because they have to go to West Virginia. West Virginia thinks they're on track. They haven't beaten anyone. They just haven't. And certainly in the Big 12. And you look at, substance. And you look at who was I talking about? Iowa State. They got the great win at Iowa. Look at the rest of the
You've done too many podcasts, Fitz.
That's exactly right. I'm on like the third one in the last few hours. So, I think Iowa State's good. I just want to see more, and winning at West Virginia is more. And if West Virginia beats a good Iowa State team, I think that says, okay, maybe the Mountaineers are in this to play, and that's who K-State plays next week.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com is our guest. I want to go inside journalism a little bit here, because let's say I've been assigned to go write the tell-all feature on DJ Giddens. I probably spend a lot of time talking to those who are in his life. What would I get from DJ Giddens? How could I get him? Has anybody ever gotten him to really tell his story? Or is that just kind of an impossibility at this point? We know how quiet he is.
Right. I don't think it's impossible. I just think the setting has to be right. And, you know, for the rest of us, for most of us in the media now, the setting is always a press conference, a media opportunity, or even if you get him on a podcast or something, that just isn't the setting. He's gonna flourish in a one-on-one setting where he's not really conscious of cameras or recorders. And Bob, this is a good question because I've thought about this. I think the only way to get an in-depth interview with DJ, go fishing with him. Just go fishing with him. Go, you know, have a buddy take you out on a lake, and just spend the day with him, just talking. You can't really have a camera crew per se, but maybe you can set up cameras and have everyone mic'd up and just go talk to him throughout the day. You might get enough for a small article, but I don't know about a book. So he's incredible. He's absolutely incredible as a player and as a person, because it's all about he wants to go play. He doesn't want to sit around and talk about it. He doesn't want to break down plays. He just wants to go out there and mix it up, and boy, he's turned into a whale of a running back.
He is a load. That ought to be a heck of a game coming up Saturday. Kansas State at Colorado. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, has been our favorite, our guest. I looking at the word thank favorite. You. K-State is
you've a, been our favorite
you.
Too, Tim.
You are our favorite, thank but you. K-State is a 3.5 point favorite in that game. That's a tough game to pick, isn't it?
The Colorado game, yeah, it's coming back down a little bit because I don't know what we're going to see from Kansas State. I just don't. They've been so miserable on the road and. Played questionable periods that made it almost impossible to win on the road, and yet this is a good football team. Once they prove it on the road, I think they're going to take off, and they might want it to be this Saturday if they plan on being in the Big 12 championship.
And one other thing before I let you go, we're going to have John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant on the show later in the week, but have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever seen a team implode?
No.
Even though KU's playing competitive games, they can't figure out how to win one after very high hopes going into this season, and seemingly for very good reason, they've won one game. How unreal is that?
The way they're losing is unfathomable. To lead all five losses in the second half and four of them in the fourth quarter. So I kind of feel like once they figure out what is going wrong, when teams run their two-minute drill, we just let them score. Because that's what's happening. And they get Jalen Daniels back on track. And honestly, the play caller remembers that they've got really good running backs. Once they figure all that out, shouldn't seem, you know, that far away, they're going to start beating people. I still think they're a really talented team. But now you're seeing the psychological side of it catch up to them. And they're thinking whenever they're in that situation, they're going to lose. And guys, that's the first thing Lance Leipold had to unwind when he took over that program, is that acceptance of failure. And he had it solved, and now it's coming back, and that has to be alarming to him.
Fitz, we always appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, boys. Great to talk to you.
All right, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, catching up on K-State football. Here's Tommy Beeson, head football coach at Goddard High School. They are coming off a huge win last Friday night against Andover Central. And I got to tell you, Andover Central had, at least from the look of their scores, had looked a little bit unbeatable. But, Tommy, you beat them. How'd that happen? And welcome.
Hey, Bob. Appreciate you guys having us on to talk a little bit about our club. They're a tremendous team. They played in the 4A state championship game last year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get the opportunity to make it run and doing that again. They are super talented, senior-laden team. Coach Tuttle's a stinking great guy on top of being a really good coach. And I expect a lot out of that Andover Central team. I don't think we're as talented. We're sure not as big. I don't think we're as fast. But our kids at Goddard play really, really hard. And I think it came down on Friday night to literally being in a pretty tough dogfight. It came down to we play as hard as anybody else out there, and if we have a couple breaks go our way, I think we're a dangerous team.
Man, I'm glad you said that you're not as talented. I'm not saying you're not as talented, but I'm glad you said it, because I was going to ask a question based on the premise that was an upset, and I didn't want to offend you. So am I okay calling that an upset?
I think that it'd be hard to tell our kids that they don't deserve the chance to be in every game. I mean, if on paper is an upset, absolutely. We had their number a year ago. We've had a good string of luck against those guys. Maybe we kind of know what they do and how they do it, so we put our kids in good position to be successful. But it comes down to the kids executing, and I think I don't know that Andover Central overlooked us. I don't think that's probably a fair assessment. But I do think that our kids rose to the challenge, and I think that we certainly were, like you said, if we were the underdogs, I think we were probably more than the underdogs just on paper. I think standing next to them, those guys dwarf us up front, and they've got a tremendous staff on their side, and we're just fortunate to get the win.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, if that truly was an upset, do you go into this week like, now this is who we are now, and I coach differently, and these kids showed me something different, and maybe they played above their head a little bit, or are there just like maybe specific elements you can take from a win like that to implement into practice this week and moving
that's
forward?
That's a good question. Chad, that's a good question. I think the interesting thing about our team is I don't think we've played as well as we can yet. I think we have so much more to give. Offensively, we've had to rebuild basically our entire team. Last year, we only brought back a single player that was a starter from a year ago on our offense. So that week one game against Mays, we literally had 10 guys start their very first varsity football game on offense. On defense, we only brought back 4. So when you only have 5 returning players, it takes a little while to get your feet under you and get to the place where you think you're playing your best ball. And I don't think we've gotten there yet. Defensively, we're very solid. We're very consistent. We're a good tackling bunch that play with a lot of enthusiasm. But offensively, I don't think we're near where we need to be a consistent winner yet. And I think that's only something we can get better at every week.
We're talking with Goddard football coach Tommy Beeson. He's been doing this a while now. Goddard now 4-1 after their win over Andover Central. They go to Salina to play Salina South coming up this Friday. Tell us about some of your personnel. Who are some of the guys that not only stood out in the win over Andover Central, but are keys for your team going forward?
Yeah, we're not a very deep club with our senior group. We've been fortunate in years past. Last year, we graduated over 30 seniors in our program. But this year, we only have 15. We only have 15 seniors on our team. Our junior class and sophomore class are over twice the size of our senior class. So the few seniors that get to play on Friday nights are super important to us. It's no question to anybody who's come to a game to watch us yet that Preston Hagel, our spokesperson, our team captain, our starting inside linebacker, he's the heart and soul of what we're trying to be and trying to do. Preston is a 4-year player for, he's a nationally ranked wrestler. He's a dog in the weight room. I think he power cleans like 340. He's just a tremendous young person on top of all that. So Preston, he wears jersey number 22, and you can't really come to our games without seeing him because he really stands out. This last week, he had 3 sacks against Andover Central on a little scheme we had kind of dialed up where they couldn't quite find him. And man, he lived up to the hype on Friday. He definitely led our team defensively. We also have another young man who's going to be highly recruited, I believe. Last name is Cohens, Jaden Cohens, and he plays cornerback for us. And the thing about Jaden is he's also probably the funniest guy on our whole team. He's kind of a class clown, but super lovable and approachable. And he's been talked to by some major universities, and hopefully he gets the chance to do that.
Does he remind you of me in that realm?
Well, we've hung out at quite a few baseball games, Bob. I don't know if you guys have that much in common. you probably have some of the same taste in music. He's kind of an old soul, so maybe you guys could find some music that's alike. His mom's an audiologist here in town, and they're a really good family. But Jaden is he's a character. I'll tell you that. That's the best way a coach can describe a guy, probably, is he's a character. And honestly, so, past that, we've got several other seniors that are doing a great job. Landon Colehorse, Brock Haskell, Alex Carpenter. And then after that, we are a young bunch. We only start 5 seniors. So 17 of our guys, including our kicker. So I guess 18 if you count that guy. 18 of us will be back for it again next year. So we feel like we're playing above our station a little bit right now, but hopefully Friday we can keep it up.
Yeah, so I don't want to look too far ahead, but we do know that you will be playing at least one playoff game. I'm sure you'll want to play more and probably will. So how do you think you can and will win in the postseason, especially when you get into deeper rounds? You're probably playing some high-powered offenses. We know you're very good defensively. How are you going to score? How do you think you'll put points on the board in those games? I'm not saying you won't. I'm just asking how you will.
Several times, Coach. Jeff, I've asked myself that every week. We got to score better. That's no doubt. I don't think that's a shot on who we are, what we're trying to do either. I think what people have to remember is that we're in Goddard. We're very okay with being unique. We want to be different. We run a little bit of a double wing style run first offense. I know it sounds ridiculous, but we've played 5 varsity football games, and we've completed 1 pass this season. We actually did complete a pass for a 2-point conversion last Friday on our only we only had one attempt in the game. So we've kind of made a name for ourselves. We want to run the football and take possessions and milk the clock. And we just kind of have a unique way of doing it. So the reason why we do it that way is hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, we get a good draw in the playoffs where we have some good matchups. And it's hard for other teams to prepare for, number one. And number two, it's very weatherproof. I had a team a few years ago I thought was super, super talented, much more talented than the team I have now. But we based most of what we did around one player who was our quarterback. When he got injured, pretty much the season was lost. And so we've now built the thing we're doing today where it's not dependent on one guy. Neither side of the ball nor special teams is not dependent on one superstar player. Do we have some good players? We do. We're very fortunate. But we're built to last, and we're built to be weatherproof. We've got to be better offensively, and I'd be the first one to talk about firing our offensive coordinator because it's me. But I know that we can get better, and we've got to do better in order to keep this ball rolling. But if we can figure that out and we can get in the end zone a handful more times, I'm super confident that when we get to the playoffs, there are a lot of teams in the 5A bracket that are good that want no part of us.
Final moment here with Tommy Beeson, head football coach at Goddard. So right now there's two really good teams in your community. Eisenhower is having a very special year. They're 5-0. They beat you earlier this year. What's that like in a community like Goddard where both football teams are really playing at a high level? How much fun is that?
Well, it's a lot of fun. I will tell you, I can't really answer the question because we haven't really done it before. I mean, last year, both our teams were probably, I think we combined for the most wins we had with our two programs split a year ago. And this year, we're on pace to beat that number. So Darren, who's a good close friend of mine, Coach Fisher over at Eisenhower, we chat every week. And I think the world of him. I think he's a tremendous coach. He's much smarter than I am. But the idea that we're both winners is a very new thing. We've had some years where we've been tremendously good. We've had some deep playoff runs, and I've been fortunate at Goddard to win more games than we've lost. But we've also had some down years. And in those same down years, Eisenhower's had better seasons. And so the idea that we're finally both, I wouldn't say on top of the mountain, but last year we won our league. They also went to play in a sub-state, and this year we're both on track to maybe finishing the year with a loss or less. We've never really done it before, so I can't really say from experience. I know what it's like. We're kind of experiencing every day.
Do you get out of breath talking about anything besides football? I get it, man. There are some things I'm really passionate about. I love how much you love football. But, man, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm sure my wife gets tired of listening to me. So maybe when you guys ask me a question, I finally think there's a captive audience. You already got me stuck on your show, so I figure at least now if I'm chatting and I got something to talk about with my guys, I could do that for hours, and maybe you guys are just stuck with me.
No, we love it. I love it.
Well, your passion runs through, and we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show today. Best of luck this Friday at Salina South and into the future. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks so much for what you guys do for high school sports. I appreciate you.
Tommy Beeson, head football coach. Goddard High, was he at North when you were there?
Not when I was there. I think a little later. I feel like he took about three or four of my questions, all of them, as insults, but I meant them all complimentary.
Well, they were a little insulting. I winced at a couple of them.
You pulled an upset.
I didn't like that.
You don't score enough, Tommy.
Yeah, the guy's sitting there coming off the biggest win, one of the biggest wins he's ever had, and he has to endure that.
But when you have a guy who will talk and will share and knows what he's talking about, you do want to kind of get a little deeper with some questions.
That's not deeper.
I didn't insult him. I just feel like
you just used the word yourself.
No, I said he probably took it that way, but I meant all three questions in a complimentary.
Well, I'd like to treat our guests a little more respectfully, if you don't mind. Well,
you do that, and I'll pepper him.
Well, I don't like that. We got a game coming up. Hour number two, is it for Max to play as well?
Of course, Max is going to play.
Is with his track record?
Well, he'll lose, but he will play.
We'll be back. Robert Sala, is that how you say it? Sala, fired as the Jets coach. No surprise there. Aaron asks for it to happen. Aaron gets what he wants.
Probably.
We'll talk a little bit about that, the NFL. We got big baseball coming up tonight, some Chiefs talk, you name it. We'll talk about it. Plus, I'm no longer on Twitter. We'll get to that. Hour number two, just ahead.